Let's pray as we begin, because I'm going to seek to talk to you about the holiness of this table, that we stand on the ground of this table. And I've satisfied myself with what I'm going to talk with you about. And my only problem now is whether or not you will understand what I'm going to say. But I'm going to pray to the Lord that you will. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, though we be imperfect believers served by imperfect teachers. We desire a perfect understanding of your word, a maturity that begins to grow in us and continues to grow that we might come as a complete man before you. We pray that you would bless us by this time this evening in Jesus' name. As I was wrestling with trying to come up with the message that I actually could give, several weeks ago, I was in a Sunday school class with my youngsters. You know, I have a congregation of four or five that I minister to every Sunday, and I have no problem at all just speaking my mind to them. But anyway, I was talking to them, and our lesson was on the incommunicable attributes of God. And we were meeting in my little room over there. I mean, my little room and Will's little room. Meeting in that over there. And I challenged the kids with a thought that had occurred to me. I said that when we come in, particularly as believers, to study the Word of God, we come and we stand on holy ground. And I said we have the example in Scripture of Moses coming to the burning bush. And the Lord said, take off your shoes, because the ground on which you stand is holy ground. And I asked the kids, I said, if we took off our shoes to hear the lesson today, when could we put them back on? Because that little room is not the holy ground that the Christian stands on. Neither is this little room. But the Christian stands on holy ground wherever he walks, because he carries the holiness of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit with him. And we come to this table. Why, the main thing that we come to in this table is a nearness, a declared nearness that we come to the holiness of God the Son as we come to this table. So, I want you to turn to our text in Corinthians, because there are two phrases in the text that I want particularly to discuss with you. That's Corinthians 11, and I'm just going to read 23 through 28, and then we'll launch forward on what I have to say. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. One of the cautions I have for myself in these opportunities to speak with you is to remember that I don't have to tell you all I know and believe in 20 or 25 minutes, although I really want to, because that's what I think about. And I want to share with you what I think about, because we're here sharing what we all think about and endorsing the truths that we all think about as we together take the tokens that celebrate those truths and celebrate that gospel. Now, while I can't promise to do that, I won't. I'll try. I do want you to give you an idea of where I'm going in trying to always get a better and better idea of what each part of Scripture means to me, and I trust either informs or celebrates real truth in your hearing, pleasing to God and useful to you. Basically, I'm looking at the communion. I'm looking at the concept of communion. I'm seeking best understanding of the concepts of remembrance as it bears on two of the phrases in the passage I read for you tonight. And those two phrases are, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And the other phrase is, let a man examine himself. I've spoken on examine yourself in the past. It was probably 17 or 18 years ago. I'm sure you all remember the message, so I won't go over that again. But essentially, what I was intrigued with this at the time was that the communion time itself was not necessarily the time that we'd hurry in and we would examine ourselves and we would realize that we had unconfessed sins, and we would confess our sins and, in a sense, clean ourselves up to take the communion. My thought was, and I still hold to it, is that we should prepare ourselves before. We should deal with those things. We should come with clean hands to this table. So I'm not stepping away from that. Any of you who do remember the message, don't feel that I have backed away. Well, in my notes here, I said that while I gave that, and I still believe it's true, I don't think I had the full flavor of what it means to examine yourself and to show the Lord's death. I saw, well, I've given you that. But the linking of showing the Lord's death, as for me, showing the Lord's death together with examining yourself has put on me a greater tension, or put on the believer a greater tension and obligation for a self-examination and for proper and appropriate self-examination and examination of the motives that they have in coming to the communion table. First, I see that God is at the communion table. God is examined. He has, in a sense, laid himself out on this table, and we come in adoration, and we come in honor, and we come in anticipation and trust to the table, accepting what he has shown us, not only by the word, but what he has shown us by the word and by the works, and what he has given us as tokens, as a memorial for that word and for those works. This morning in Sunday school class, we were talking about the word, and it occurred to me that the Father represents the intention or the will of God, and Jesus Christ is the word of God, the execution of the intention or the will, the declaration of those things. And there's a point here, and I can't remember my third one. The word and the will, well, and the accomplishment and the work, the word, the will, and the work. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, to declare the word by the word and by his works. So God is examined, and to be examined, for God to be examined is to be revealed. because we don't put God to the test, but we take the things that that are shown to us, are declared to us in Scripture, and we use those as the basis upon which to understand, to see Him revealed. We see God as examined in this passage, and He was examined. We see, it says we show the Lord's death till He come. And I think I'm right in what I'm going to be saying. But He was examined, the Lord Jesus Christ was examined to the point of death. He was examined, he had finished the work that He came to do. And having finished the work that He came to do, why, that work was concluded, and He rested from that work in the same way that when He had finished the 6 days of creation, He rested from that work. He didn't take a vacation. He rested from that work and went on to the next work of the Creator, the Sustainer, the one who concludes, who matures, who perfects the things that he had started. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His work on the cross, opened to us what we understand to be the three parts of salvation: the justification, the sanctification, and the glorification. He's presently working with sanctification and anticipating the work of glorification. But He rested in His death. He rested. He had finished. He had completed the work that He came to do at the cross. When I start talking, I lose the place where I might be. I guess just re-speak, He rose from that death, from the death on the cross, to a newness of life. He became the captain of those who would be shown to be under the blood of His sacrifice. God is willing to be examined insofar as men are made willing and are able to inquire. One of the purposes of Trinity Bible Church, is that we present ourselves willing, and we are made by the Holy Spirit able to inquire into the person of God and into the work that He's done on our behalf. Exodus 6, 2 and 3, if you want to turn there for just a second, that's Moses in communion, if I may use it that way, and I think I may. I intend to. Exodus 6. That's where Moses is, where God is talking to Moses and comforting and reassuring Moses that Moses can trust Him. Again, I think that is a thing that we need to remember as we come to this table. Is as we come, we are saying, we trust You. We trust that the tokens that are here represent the truth, and represent the sufficient truth, and represent the truth so that we need to look for no other truth. We are satisfied with what You have provided us with, the salvation that You have provided us with. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2, God spoke with Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. He's willing to reveal Himself. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by My name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. God is expanding the understanding that Moses had about his work, His will, and His work, or His will and His word, and His ways, and His will and His word, and His work. Jehovah, the God who saves. So tonight we remember God, we remember Jesus Christ in his death, in the perfection of all his promises. You remember the Bible verse that says there has not one word failed of all that he promised. But even as we admit that the glory of the communion table is the memorial presence of the Lord himself, we must also attend to those other phrases, to those two phrases. The first, you do show the Lord's death. Now, I've listed some things that I think are true about the fact that you do show the Lord's death, because we as believers, by coming and being here and honoring this, why, we declare that we appreciate the goodness of it. And we declare to ourselves and to others that we appreciate the power of it. And we declare that we enjoy the savor of it. And we declare that we trust the sufficiency of it. The believer takes small material tokens here in preference to all the other treasures of the world. We say, out of everything in the world, this Sunday night, July, whatever it is, we say that we would rather be here. We would rather be taking of this table than anything else we could be doing. The believer, given a new heart and a newness of life, puts his body of flesh under subjection and commits that carnal body to receive, for the good pleasure of the new man, the tokens of the very death of the old man, and to acknowledge its present function, the old man's present function, the body's present function, as, hold on to your seats now, as the chrysalis, which is the new man's sojourning home. Now, chrysalis, I had to look this up in the dictionary, means a quiet transitional form. The best example we have that is where the caterpillar rests for a time and is transformed into a butterfly. The thing which happens for believers is that the new man is given a new represented by a new heart, but he yet sojourns or lives in his old man's body. And that causes the tension, the personal tension, that we have as believers. What I just said, I believe, is that when we come to the communion table, we show our body who's boss. And the new man is the boss. The new man will come and will receive these tokens, in a sense, in themselves, insubstantial things compared to a banquet or compared to any other thing that the body might say that it would really like to have. Why, we come and we take these things and we say, this is the way it's going to be, because this is what we desire as a new man. We desire the things of Christ and not the things of the world. Our testimony, we show the Lord's death to ourselves, to our flesh. And I believe that there is that tension between the body and the spirit. We don't feel it except in trials. We feel it, and in our sorrows we feel it, and we understand it, and we overcome it as God gives us the strength. So let me read that again to you. It's either going to further irritate or confuse you, or it's going to mean something to you. The believer who has been given a new heart and a newness of life puts his body under subjection and commits that carnal body to the presentation, to the receipt of the Holy Communion. Okay. So that, for me, and I hope it's a true thing I'm telling you, is something that has to do with showing the Lord's death till He come. And whether we thought about it or not, why, it's true. Well, I take it to be true. But the whole concept of examining yourself means think about it. Think about it, and if you think I'm wrong, tell me about it, because I want to be right rather than anything. But the whole thing about examining yourself is to look into what it is that you believe and concentrate on who it is that you trust and who it is that has in His hand your eternal life. I'm so far away from my notes here that it's going to be even more scattered than usual. The believer then is examining himself. Let me see if I can get a transition from that. I have part of my 45 pages here, so. There we go. Okay, I came from the fact that I talked to you about a chrysalis. A chrysalis is a quiet transitional form. A chrysalis is the harbor of a transformed being until the fullness of the need, until the fullness of the need or the time for the transitional moment, when that which has been transformed is ready to be presented, is ready to leave the cave of the chrysalis or the pupa, and stand on its own. And as I said, the believer needs to examine himself and consider that he is sojourning in this flesh, and that in this flesh dwells the new man. The new man is in spiritual conflict, is in conflict with the flesh itself. And in examining himself, the believer then is examining himself, that is the new man, before the very eyes of the old, defeated, yet noisome old man. The believer is declaring his allegiance to another sovereign, not the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the world, or the pride of life. At the very same time that this private thing, I believe, is taking place, as we examine ourselves and as we present ourselves to God, and as we recognize that the ground that we stand on personally, privately, and intimately is holy ground, at that very same time there is a corporate, as evidenced here tonight, there's a corporate or social examination and showing. We show to one another that we trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The communion service itself does not seem best intended as a privately kept memorial. I don't think there is. There are many cases where the communion service is celebrated by someone alone taking of those elements and paying attention to these things as we talk about. Or even where it's just a small group, the communion service is generally served to a body of believers. There are many meetings of God with His people detailed in the Scripture. The most powerful parallel to our communion service would be the Passover descriptions in Egypt leading to the Exodus. Without knowing the larger implications of God saving them from a judgment, them from the death of the firstborn, the surviving Hebrews showed a death by the examination of obedience, posting the blood upon the doors of their homes. They showed that they were dead, that they were content to be dead to their own will and to their own ways in those moments. They were content to accept God's will and God's ways, discarding their own, dying to their own, and accepting the word of God simply because God said it. They posted the blood upon the doors of their homes. They did this personally. They did this even privately, man by man, in their own houses. But the consenting private moments of each household gave corporate confidence and blessing to all households. They were content to accept that blessing and signed by the blood. It was God's more secret work to cause this and all the other communions with his people for their good, to show them that salvation is of the Lord and salvation is only of the Lord. We attend upon those salvations. We are examined in those salvations, but all the works of God are done by God alone. We don't help, however sincere we are, however much we feel that our faith contributes, or however much our desire to be in holy people is sincere. The work is all of God. We come to this table because there's no other place to come to get the good of this table. We honor and rejoice in this communion. We trust that we need no other. We want no other. We invite and delight to take these simple elements with any others who are similarly called to rejoice with us. So the passage tells us to examine ourselves, to be examined, to declare our faith among those in our family. God desires it so, for his honor and for our peace. Let me close with, I haven't taken 45 minutes, let me close with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, if you would go there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with confidence the race that is set before us. Let us take with confidence the elements of the table that are set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then just turn over, in my Bible, turn over a page to Hebrews 13, 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And verse 25 of Hebrews 13, grace be with you all. Amen. The ground on which we stand is holy ground. Let's be sure nothing stands between us and the ground of God's truth and the goodness of God's work and the perfection of God's will and the sufficiency of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us something that we can trust, that stands under examination, that you've given us something that we hope in the best sense, we trust in the sufficiency of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to receiving these elements and to celebrating together the fact that we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust God the Father, who has willed these things, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has declared them and has worked them, and the Holy Spirit, who takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. And these are for us enough. These are for us that which is perfect for our need. In Jesus' name, amen.